Amen. Without further ado, if you could turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus 4, we're going to be reading 1 through 5. This is a powerful account of God liberating the people of Israel. We never exhaust all of its meaning. It is a central story in our scripture and indeed in the story of our faith, the liberating God and how God works through us. Exodus 4, 1 through 5. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Y'all have it. Y'all know your Bible. You know where, well, it was the second book, a little easy. Exodus 4, 1 through 5. Please attend with me to the reading of God's word. Then Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" Moses said, "It's a staff." And God said, "Throw it on the ground." So Moses threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." Somebody say the tail.
Yeah.
So he reached out his hand and he grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand. "So that they may believe," said the Lord, "that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Return with me briefly to the first and the second verse. Then Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but they say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" Moses said, "A staff." Help me, if you could, with the title to this sermon. If you could repeat back to me the message that will occupy our attention for this morning. Moses said, "It's a staff." Say back to me, "God can use it."
God can use it.
Amen. Let's pray. God, we come once again, humbly yet expectantly, into your powerful presence. All week, God, we can say that we have needed you. We have needed your guidance. We have needed your love. We have needed your strength to get us through. We have needed you, God, to be God to us. And God, we can say, even though we may have been anxious and we may have been worried and we may have passed through some difficult moments, we can say that, God, you showed up for us. You were God to us. You stood tall in our lives. So we've come to give you praise yet again. But God, because you are so amazing and because this life can do us such harm, we need you once again. We need you in this moment to speak loud and clear to your people. Because God, as we walk these journeys, things trip us up, things frighten us, things confuse us. And we need the God who put us here to reach out and grab us by the hand. So God, we've come this morning reaching out to grab your hand one more time, that you might guide us, that you might help us stand, God. So now, God, I ask that your word might come forth with power, that in spite of the frailties of the preacher, that what you need to say to your people might be precise, clear, and healing. Because, God, a word from you, and we know we will be here. We love you, we thank you, and we need you. We're listening as best we can. And we do all this, God, this hour, our attention is all on you, because you have been so amazing, and we do not cease to give your name a great praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, together we say amen.
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 Amen. What if they do not believe me, but say, "The Lord did not appear to you"? The Lord said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" When we meet Moses on the edge of the Midian desert today, when we meet this character whom we have met time and time again, this character whom we maybe feel that we know well, when we meet him today in the Midian desert, Moses is at a turning point. He's at a point in his journey that determines what the rest of his life will look like. He's at a point in his journey that shapes his destiny and that will determine the course of his life and indeed his life's contribution to this earth. He is at an important point where things are being decided. Moses is at a turning point. As you may know from the story, Moses has come out of Egypt. He's run to the Midian desert because his people are held captive in Egypt, and the atrocities there are so great. He's burdened by it, and he's beset by it, but he feels that there's nothing he can do because he's been rejected by his people. So he's run to the Midian desert, and here he is. But God chases him down, finds him in the desert where he feels there's nothing that can be done about his life or his situation. God comes to him to say, I have something different in mind. Moses is at this turning point, but he is beset by doubt. I bring this up to you because I wonder if you also have been at certain turning points in your life, certain desert moments, when you're not sure if there's anything that can be done. If you also have met the character, the villain of doubt. This is one of the longest chapters in the Exodus account, this fourth chapter. It's one of the chapters that lasts the longest because Moses keeps arguing back with God and keeps doubting what God is saying, keeps doubting what God says that God can do. And this is one of the longest chapters that Moses has in this entire Exodus account. And I wonder in your life if you've ever noticed that doubt sometimes has prolonged the chapter that you're in. I wonder if you know what it is to be walking through a chapter that you wish you could just turn the page on and you see what's on the other side, but because of your doubts, you're staying in that chapter for longer than you anticipated. And here Moses finds himself at this turning point, at this critical juncture in his life, and he's asking a lot of questions of God. Don't we do that? When we find ourselves in these moments that matter a lot, we have a lot of questions for God. Why, God? Or God, can you do something about it? God, when? When is it going to take place? God, what should I do? We have many questions for God. Moses has a lot of questions for God today. He's asking and asking, and God is answering in God's way. But then in this critical juncture, I wonder if you can see Moses in this desert today, in this chapter that's been extended by his doubt, this time when he is at this critical juncture, but he's doubting whether it can take place, and he has so many questions for God. God turns around and asked him a question. I wonder if in the places in your life where you've had many questions for God, God, when? God, how? God, why? When are you going to act, God? When are you going to do what you said you were going to do, God? I wonder if you might consider with me, few of us ever stop to consider that in those moments when we are battering God with our questions and saying, when is God going to answer? I wonder if you could consider with me, but that maybe in those moments, sometimes God is waiting for us to answer. Here in this critical juncture where Moses finds himself today, God asked Moses a question. And I've talked many times before about the power of this question that God asks Moses, the profundity of it, and indeed this very question, even if we just stopped there. I do believe it is enough for many of us to be a life-changing question if we would allow God to ask us the same question that God asked Moses today. It's a powerful question. I do, as I said, I believe it's life-changing, and I've talked about it many times. God says to Moses, "What is in your hand?" You'll remember that Moses is facing a situation, a challenge of baffling proportions. He does not know what he can do about it. Life has become something altogether different than what he had expected. His people are in a situation. His own personal life has fallen apart because of this situation. He's facing the difficulties of trying to wrest his people from the grips of empire, and he feels he looks at the situation, and he tried to do his best to do his part, but it didn't work out. It fell apart, and they rejected him, and things did not go the way he thought, and so he's run to the Midian desert, and here God is saying to Moses, I need you to be a part of my liberating project. I can do something about this, but I'm going to do it, Moses, through your hands and through your feet, through your words and through your very life. And Moses looks at the challenging and the baffling situation in front of him. I wonder if in your mind you might call to your mind's eye some of the situations that baffle you and feel bigger than you and feel like they are so large you can never do anything about it. And Moses looks at this situation and says, but God, who am I that I could do anything. I'm so very small and so very messy. I wouldn't even know where to begin. And even just this one question that God asks Moses, I know and I sense even for me, it has such life-changing potential. God says to Moses, you don't need to consider the chasm between who you are, your abilities, and what needs to get done. God says to Moses a very important question, what is in your hand? What is it that's already in your hand? What is it that's already within your reach? What is it that's yours that I have placed in you? What is in your hand? Because when you really truly grasp what is in your hand, when you really see the power of what God can do through what God has already placed within the hands that God gave you, you can see that the situations before you, they may baffle you, but the God who gave you hands and the God who put gifts in them, there's power in this question. Look at what is in your hand. What is in your hand to help the situations in this world? What is in your hand to help the family that you find yourself in? What is in your hand? Do you have a sense of humor that can shift atmospheres? Do you have love where other people can't see anything but their own goals? Do you have a love that can overpower a room? Do you have a gift that you aren't really picking up and using yet? What is in your hand? This question can be life-changing if we really let God ask us. But this week as I reflected, the Spirit just convicted me all over again because this, even with the power of this question, I realized that there is even more power in this conversation, this moment between God and Moses, because it's not just the question, what is in your hand, but it hit me anew. I think it's even more transformative for our lives, that it's not only what is in your hand, but the answer that Moses gives. It's not just the question of what is in your hand, but when we consider the answer that Moses gives, this moment between God and Moses is even more transformative for us. Moses says, a staff. I am convicted and convinced that this conversation between God of the God of the universe and this man whom we admire has implications for our lives. But before we get to what it means that what Moses was holding was a staff, we need to consider Moses a little bit more. Remind ourselves of who he is. You may have studied yourself, or perhaps you know Moses was a complicated character, to say the least. He did not look back over a life that was pristine or that made a great deal of sense. He looked back over a biography with some rough pages in it, some torn pages, some tattered pages, some paragraphs he wished he could just completely erase. Moses' life was not simple, nor was it pristine. No, Moses was the complicated character. I've often said that in addition to the external battles he had to fight, we know him as the great liberator. He fought Pharaoh and he fought the Egyptian army and he split the Red Sea through the power of God and he did mighty acts in order to change the world and change the destiny of his people. In addition to the external battles that he fought, Moses also had to fight some internal battles. Before he could get the people to believe him enough to follow him, he had to get himself to believe in himself. He fought these internal battles, not just because he was worried about his abilities, but because when he looked back at his life and he looked at who he had become, he did not see who he thought would be the person that God could use for such a mighty task. We know he had been born into a complicated identity. He was someone who was Hebrew of birth, but born into an Egyptian family because the Hebrews were under such oppression that the boys were not being permitted to live. And so his family hid him, and he found his way into Pharaoh's house, and he had found safety there. So he's living with this complicated identity. Who am I? I'm not even sure. And at a certain point, when he sees the oppression of his people is so much, he decides to take matters into his own hands, and in a moment of anger, he kills someone, an Egyptian, and he is so worried about it because the people say, "We saw what you did." He feels exposed. He feels like the broken places in his life, the parts of that biography that he wishes he could just excise, those pages that he wishes he could hurry up and not have to include in his story. He feels that those are being read by the whole world. I don't know if you know that feeling. Wish you could skip over some paragraphs. You want to highlight the other ones and scratch those out. You just want to flip the page because life didn't always turn out or go in the direction that you wanted. And you tried your best, you really did. Just like Moses, it wasn't any bad intention. It just, life happened to you and you were doing your best. But here it is written on your page and it's in this ink that is so very indelible. And though you wish you could flip the page, you feel like everybody is reading your story. This is what Moses looks back on when God says to him, I am asking you to do something for me. And here we find Moses in this moment. Whew. We find Moses in this moment when God has said to him, I have a different plan for this situation, and I am able, like we sang today, but my ability and my power, I want it to work through you. And Moses is in this moment where he's going back and forth. He's drawing out this chapter because of his doubt. He's drawing out his desert chapter. His wilderness chapter. He's choosing to stay in the wilderness. I just want y'all to hear this. Because of his doubt. God is saying, I need you to do something about this. But he's choosing the wilderness. Some of us draw out the chapter. Not because there's no way out. Ooh. And we really, not because there's no way out. No, but because of the doubt. He's drawing out this chapter. God says to him, I need you to do something. I believe that I have I'm calling you into something, and my power is going to work through your flesh and your blood. And Moses is hesitating. He's saying, I don't think I can do it. I'm looking at what won't happen and what has gone wrong and why it won't work. Moses is hesitating, and God asks Moses a poignant question. God says, what is in your hand? God knows what is in Moses' hand, of course, before asking the question. It's not one of those questions that God is looking for information. God knows that Moses is going to say, a staff. A staff, we often pass over this point of the story, but a staff, it's profoundly important. I need you to see this, that when Moses is encountering the God of the universe who's saying, I see something in you, I'm using your life in a certain way, I'm pulling you to a different place, I'm taking you from your desert moment to a different place. What is in your hand? And Moses says, staff. A staff. A staff. Now, we don't use a lot of staffs in our day. Maybe some of you have a few at home. I don't personally have any at home. We don't talk about them. You cannot buy them at Burlington Coat Factory. And you know, you can buy anything at Burlington Coat Factory. You can get your daughter's prom dress and a new can opener. Just, you know, same trip. But even Burlington Coat Factory does not have a staff section. So we're not as you, we don't, it doesn't immediately hit us what it means that God knew what was in Moses' hand. And God says, what is in your hand? And Moses says, a staff. It doesn't hit us because we're not familiar with it, but I need you to see this staff. A staff is an ancient cane. A staff is an ancient tool used to assist you when you had been injured by your journey. A staff is an ancient thing that you'd lean on. It comes from the verb sha'an. It means to lean on or to use in assistance with it. It's an ancient cane. It's what you would use if something had happened to you that wounded you, that left you with a limp. People who had never been through anything didn't use a staff. No. Young people who had never walked anywhere had never used a staff. They didn't have a staff. It wasn't for those who had never seen the difficulties of life. A staff was an ancient cane. It was a symbol of woundedness. A staff was what they would, in ancient Israelite law, when there was a fight between two people, the way they would determine if the one person who won the fight had to pay remuneration for the person who was injured was if that person was so injured that they needed to use staff. A staff is a symbol of the places that you've been that have wounded you. A staff is a symbol that you can't do it all by yourself anymore. You need to lean on something because there's something that still hurts when you walk, and it's not easy to go the places that you have to go. A staff is a symbol that you've been through some things. A staff was a symbol that you are not, it's not your first time around, and you've seen some things that you'd rather not remember. There's some places in your biography that make you wince. A staff is what was in Moses' hand. Moses, we said before that he had been through some things, had a journey behind him, one that he didn't want to put it on his Twitter bio. He didn't want everyone to know. It wasn't something he would celebrate or talk to people about. Moses had a journey before him, and I submit to you today that it had wounded him. We said that in ancient Israelite law, the staff was the way that you could tell if someone had been wounded enough to deserve remuneration from the fight they had been in. Well, we know that Moses had a particular fight in his past. That day that he was so upset about what was happening to his people that he decided to take it into his own hands. And we don't know, we'll never know if that's what wounded him and made him need the staff as he walked his walk. We'll never know if that was the day. But can you imagine that every time he took a step with that left leg, every other step in his life reminding him of that day that changed everything? We know that day was not just a physical wounding. If you know the story of Moses, you know that after that day, his people decided they did not need him anymore. Or did he decide for them? After that day of that day that changed everything that is lodged in his memory, he leaves Egypt and he runs to Midian. He tries to start a new life. And so not only every time does he walk, he feels the physical pain, but every time he sees the cane that's in his arm, and as he's walking and he feels the limp, he's not only reminded of what physically has happened to him, but he looks back on that day that changed everything and that he wishes he could take away. He looks back on that day that his life changed from what he expected it to be to something he did not expect. That day that caused pain that he can't forget about, that every day is present with him when he wakes up. Every time, I need you to see this, every time, did y'all see this? Every time he has to hold this cane, this staff that reminds him of what he's been through. And God says, I imagine he hates this cane. I know some people who carry a cane. They hate it. They got fancy cane, shiny with sparkles on it. It matches everything. They got two or three to match their different shoes. And I'm like, that looks nice. That's a nice accessory. That's good. It shows that you're healing. You know, before you're on a walk, now you're on a cane. This is good. I hate this thing, Pastor. They hate it because it reminds them a place of woundedness. Then there's some other canes that are invisible. Some other staffs that some of us have that are invisible and some places that we'd rather not remember. And I just imagine that Moses hated this cane, and as he's walking his walk and doing the things that he's doing, he hates it. And he's thinking about the ways that he wishes his life would have been, but he's given up on it being that way. He's settled in Midian because he does not believe that his life can be what he thought it could be. He does not believe that his life could mean something, could shift things, could be something that God uses. And he hates this cane and he wishes it weren't that way. And God says, "What is in your hand? Use that. What is in your hand, Moses? Use that. That that's in your hand that you hate, that's a symbol of everything that you think went so wrong. Oh, I can use it." In this moment, God says to him, "What is in your hand?" What happens? I ask you to consider with me in your own life, what happens when what is in your hand is a souvenir from your journey through pain? What happens when you look down? It's like Moses, God knew what was in Moses' hand when God asked. God knew that it wasn't a shiny resume. It wasn't a list of references of all the wonderful things he had already done, and therefore he knew how to do what was ahead of him. No, it was not a blueprint of how to liberate a nation. It wasn't a sword. It wasn't a black belt in karate or taekwondo. It wasn't any tool that Moses thought he needed in order to do something. It wasn't it. God knew it was a cane, and God said, "What is in your hand? Use that. Use your woundedness. Use the places that you have been that you wish you never had to go to. Use those things because I can do a powerful thing that will blow your mind, but you have to use what is in your hand." Some of us, when we look at what's in our hand, when we look at what's in our hand, we wish, just like Moses did, we wish it were a blueprint. Whew. We wish it were buckets and buckets of talent. Because we don't have that, we go to Midian. We wish it were answers and confidence and all the things that we think we need. We wish it were a pristine past. We wish it were a degree. We wish what is in our hand. We don't like what's in our hand. We wish it were something else, and so we stay in Midian, and we don't allow God to ask us the question, what is in your hand? Because we assume, like Moses did this day, that God cannot use what's in our hand, but God is asking us that question. And what happens when God asks you that question, and you look down to your hands, and what you see there are souvenirs from your journey through pain? What happens when you look down at your hands and what you see there are not the things, the pretty things that you think would help you live the life you were designed to live and do something that God can use and can shift this world with? What happens when you look down and it's not those things, but it's a biography with some pages in it that still don't make sense to you yet? What happens when you hear through the powerful words of Scripture from millennia ago, God saying, what is in your hand? Oh, is it a souvenir from your journey through pain? Use that. God is pointing out here the immense power of what God can do through what you discard. What God can do through what you think is ugly and useless. What God can do through the places you have been and the strength that it has given you. There's a comedian, Hannah Gadsby. Does anybody know her? Hannah Gadsby, she has this recent series called Nanette. She's a comedian. It's a comic series, but it takes a serious turn because she tells the story of her trauma. She suffered a great amount of violence because she's a same gender loving person, and she suffered violence in her native Australia, and she suffered violence because of that, and it broke her down. But she has become such a powerful storyteller and a comedian because of what she went through. She said, she has this quote. She says, "There is nothing stronger than a broken woman who has rebuilt herself. Nothing stronger than a broken woman who has rebuilt herself," because she discovered this powerful truth that God is saying to Moses today, that there is power, there is immense ability, and that's something that God can do lives that can change through using what you've been through. We find ourselves so hating the Cains in our lives. Hating the staffs that we have to walk with, hating when we go home and we see the souvenirs from the places that we've been that we wish we didn't have. We find ourselves hating it so much, but God is saying, use that. Gatsby has been able to touch so many lives. Maybe you know of some other examples of writers who would not be who they are if it were not for what they had been through. Maybe you can look back over your life and see places where if it was not for what you had been through, could God have used you in such power? God says to Moses, I need y'all to see this today. God says to Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? This, God? This staff? This is what I need because I can't do it on my own. This is what I need because I messed up. This is what I need because life has not always made sense. This is what I need because I am not as strong as I wish I were. This is what I need, God, because this is a symbol of my weakness. And God says, use that. I wish I could impress upon you the power of what God can do through your broken places. I wish I could impress upon you the ways that God desires to work to use you as a wounded healer. This is Paul saying, I am your power, God, is made perfect in my weakness. This is Joseph saying, what they meant for evil, God worked it for the good. This is Jesus rising with his wounds still on him. This is the power and the surprising, the antithetical and the counterintuitive way that God uses us, those of us who have resigned ourselves to the desert. This is the powerful way that the only person who can restore your family is you. But there is a reason that you have been placed in that family, in the generation that you find yourselves, because you're the one with the courage to say, this stops with me. This is the powerful way that God might put you in a classroom where no one else could handle, because you have gifts, not because you're so great and so amazing, but because God has brought you through some things. This is the powerful way that God can help you heal others' lives, not because you have the wisdom or the answers, no, but because God has been powerful in your life. And sometimes it takes a healer who knows what it is to be cut to know how to tie up those wounds. God says to Moses, "What is in your hand? I know you don't like it, but that's what I want to use. The staff that you hold that is a symbol of everything that went wrong." And there's a moment that everything hinges on. When Moses has to decide to be obedient or not. And God says, "I need you to use that." And Moses, well, he says, "I need you to use that. And what I want you to do is throw it on the ground." I need you to see him in this moment, because I imagine that some of us maybe are in this moment. God is asking Moses to do something that makes no sense to Moses. He doesn't understand why God wants him to throw it to the ground. He doesn't know why. Why would God be asking me to do this? Why would God be asking me to use this thing? Why would God be talking to me in this way? He doesn't understand why. Let me tell you why. Because he hasn't seen what it can do yet. I imagine that there are some things in your hand that you are not using because you have not seen what it can do yet. The instructions don't make sense to you. The God pulling you and prodding you and asking you to step into it doesn't make sense because you have not seen what it can do yet. We want to see what it can do and then we move. We want the business to go ahead and start making money before we let go of the 9-to-5 that makes us miserable. We want to see what it can do before we throw it on the ground. We want the relationship to already be perfect before we give our hearts to it. No, we want to see what it can do before we throw it on the ground. We want to see what our lives can become before we get excited about it. God says, throw it on the ground. What's in your hand? I know what it can do because I gave you those hands, God said. You don't know. But we wait. Some of us are in this moment. God is saying, throw it. I'm here. Throw it, see what I can do with it. We're just holding on. Oh, you must not be talking to me, right? Let me go watch TV. Let's just hold. And then when Moses throws it, this got me this week. When Moses throws it, what happens? When he throws it on the ground, it becomes a snake. And what does Moses do? He draws back from it. Oh, this is the phase that many of us are in when Moses throws what's in his hand on the ground, when God says, I'm inviting, y'all, you need to see this. When God says, I'm inviting you into a life that is cosmically significant, that shifts things, that changes this place, that changes generations to come, that a life where you can say, you know what, that thing did something and I'm proud of what I contributed and God worked through me. I'm asking you to come into this, but what you have to do is throw it on the ground. Moses says, okay, I'm desperate, so I'll try it. He throws it on the ground. When it transforms, what does he do? He gets afraid. Let me tell you, there is fear that comes with living a transformative life. There is fear that comes when you see what your gifts can do. That's why many of us don't do anything, because we are afraid of what they can do. Let me tell you, as a preacher, it's amazing the power that words can have and the power that can move through you, but it's also very scary the damage your words can do. It's very scary because it's not only the power to transform for good, but sometimes your gifts have power and you're afraid of it. As a parent, a lot of times people are afraid to parent, not just because it's a hard work, not just because it takes a lot of effort and of heart and of tears. No, you're afraid of the damage you can do. You get afraid of your gifts. You get afraid of what the transformative power of who you are in this world and the impact that you can have. And so what do? When God begins to transform things through our life, what do? We draw back. We get afraid. And so we say, you know what? Never mind. Let me just survive. Some of us, I know it's not everybody, but I know some of us are in this phase where we are drawing back, where we're afraid of what it could be. And so what do? We convince ourselves that it can't be anything. But there's power in the transformation that God can do through our lives. Did you know that this is the only thing in this whole passage that Moses does, drawing back, that God didn't tell him to do? This is the only action that Moses takes in this whole exchange with God that God did not tell Moses to do. So if you are in a moment where you're afraid of using your gifts, sometimes you hear God saying, what's in your hand? And you start to answer and God says, do this or do that with it. And you start to obey, but then you draw back because you're not sure that it can get done. This is the only thing that God did not tell you to do. God asked you to answer the question. God asked you to throw it when God says throw it. God asked you to do a lot of things, but drawing back, love, perfect love, casts out all fear. And if you want, If, like Moses, you have that desire in your belly for things to be different, for your life to be different, for this world to be different, for God to use you, God says you can't draw back for too long. So he throws it. He draws back because the fear of the transformative power in what has happened. He's amazed that now, because he has thrown it, there's a snake on the ground. And this is where many of us are today. God says to him, what does God say? Seize it by the tail. Reach out your hand and pick it up by the tail. Reach out your hand, Moses, and see what I can do when you pick up what I've put before you. Reach out your hand, Moses. I know you don't know what's going to happen, but reach out your hand in trust and in obedience and see what God can do through the broken places in your life, through your obedience, through your very flesh and blood. Reach out your hand and seize it. Many of us are in this phase where we hear God saying that. We hear it in Bible verses. We hear it. We get inspired for a moment. But then God is saying, reach out and touch it. But we are afraid to do it. And so we don't do it. And we spend, this is such a serious matter for our lives, our very lives, and what they can do in the universe. Because many of us spend our entire lives drawing back from it. God's saying, reach out your hand. God says, reach out and grab it by the tail. Now, I'm a country girl. I don't know a whole lot, but I know one thing. You grab a snake, where? No, y'all aren't from the country. City folk, no, absolutely not. That's how you get bit. You grab a snake by its neck. I'm from the country, so see? These city deacons, what are you gonna do with them? You grab it by the neck so it doesn't bite you. Grab it by the tail doesn't make sense. Sometimes God's instructions do not make sense. It doesn't make sense. We think it doesn't make sense. Why would God say grab it by the tail? Every country person knows you grab it by the head because then it can't reach your... See, I have to explain this to you. I need a diagram. You city, y'all don't even... The rats, you're scared of even the rats. They are not even poisonous. Y'all are terrified. No, country people, you know you grab the thing by the neck so it can't reach around and bite you. God says grab this by the tail. This is to show us that when you use your gifts and when you act, walk in purpose and in power, and when you walk as a person of destiny, the things that you use, they still have the power to hurt you. Your children, the power of being a parent, it will, if you do it right, it can break your heart. If you do this thing right, you are not immune to the pain of any parent knows that. If you want to be a performer, if you want your gift to go out into the world, it's not going to go well every time. It has the power to hurt you. If you want your life to proceed in a manner of destiny making and in shifting the things that you see around you, if you want to be that type of person, if you want God, let's just say, if you want God to use you, if you've been asking God for to use you and to be for you to be God's instrument, if you want God's power to work through your life, it will still have the potential to hurt you. But God says, I am here. Grab it by the tail. When you reach out your hand, there's power in this when it's in your hand. There's so much that we have not seen the power of because it's not yet in our hands. We're leaving it on the ground. We're afraid of it. There is something that can shift when you put it in your hand, when you pick it up and you wield it by your hand. God knew what God was doing when God said, I need you to reach out your hand. What in your life are you waiting to grab? What in your life are you drawing back from? What in your life are you considering that it's not good enough for God to use? What is God saying to you about? Reach out your hand. No one else is going to. You see, in this moment, it's very powerful. It's not God. God has already resolved to do what God is going to do. God has made up God's mind. It's going to happen. Moses has, y'all hear this? God has already resolved that God is going to do it, but Moses has not decided if God will do it through him. Moses has not yet decided if he will allow God to do it through him. God is saying, I am going to do this. I declare and proclaim, I have heard the cries and this will get done, but Moses, are you going to let me do it through you? And I just wonder, in this room, are there some of us who have that fire in our belly, who desire for God to use us, but we have not decided if we're going to reach out and grab it by the hand. If we're going to reach out with our hands and see what happens when we pick it up, or reach out with our hands and see what God can do, because it can't, on the ground, it still remains a snake. It does not become what God can have it to be until we pick it up. And I don't know what it is in your life that you've been hesitating to pick up, but I'm telling you, there is transformative power when you reach out your hand. This staff that Moses hated so much, this staff that represented to him his weakness and his woundedness, this staff would become a powerful instrument in Moses' life. If you know the story, you know that later Moses would use this staff to scare Pharaoh by doing what they thought were magic tricks, but what we know is the power of God. That thing that's in your hand that you may be afraid to use, you may not have been sure if you are at the point where you can reach out your hand and grab it. It will if you pick it up, and with the power of God, it can transform into some things that blow your mind. This staff, it became for Moses not only the thing that he would use to scare Pharaoh, but it became the thing that he would hold out over the battle with the Amalekites. And when he held it out, the battle went well. And when it didn't, and when he couldn't hold it anymore, that's why he had to get some people to help him with his arm to raise it up, because there was some power in that staff. He didn't know when he was having this conversation with God this day. And many of us, we stay in this conversation piece forever with God our entire lives because we don't reach out and grab it by the hand. He didn't know that one day he would hold that staff out and God would do mighty things, not because of how great Moses was, but because what he was willing to hold out, what he was willing to pick up in his hand. And then there was that day. Then there was that day when everything, I can just see Moses sitting there, because I see him on this day. When he's not yet sure, when his life does not feel like what it's supposed to be, and he's decided that maybe that's just the way it's going to be. I can see him on this day on the edge of the Midian desert, and then I can see this other day. Can you see it with me? Can you see Moses in the Midian desert when he's not sure and he's fearful and he's drawing out his chapter with his doubt? Can you see him that day in the desert when he's not sure what can be of his life and what God can do through him? And then can you see him with me on that other day? That other day in chapter 14 where God had done what God said what God was going to do, and God had walked in power and with a mighty hand. God had done some things that amazed everybody who saw them. Can you see him on this other day when he's leading the people through the Red Sea? Can you see him on that day with me? Close your eyes and you see him as he's stretching out his arm over the Red Sea, and he does not believe that it can happen, just like you do not believe that the things in your life that you need to happen can happen, just like you do not believe that your family can get back together, just like you do not believe that you can get the job that you need, just like you do not believe that your life can become the things that you feel it could be when you close your eyes at night, because it seems like an army of Egypt. Can you see him there? He's holding his arm over the Red Sea, and he's amazed at what God is doing as he sees the one side of the water running away from the other side, and he sees a hallway that no one could put there but God. Woo. Can you see him that day as he's looking over this holy hallway where the people of God are going through, not because he could do it, but because he listened to God and he believed that God could work through him, and he's amazed at what God has done. Can you see him that day in the desert when he didn't believe it? And then can you see him this day when he's holding his arm over the Red Sea that split into, amazed as the people walk through? Can you see him looking at the water and creating this whole incredible what God can do? And then can you see him look from the water to his arm and see what's in it? Can you see him look from the water at what God can do and look to his arm to see what God did it through? To see the staff there, to see the symbol of his woundedness being the channel for God's power. I want you to see yourself there, to see one day when you look over the amazing things that God can do. And I'm telling you that you will be able to look at your hand and see some things about your life, about who you are and where you have been, the things about yourself that are so challenging, the things that you wish you could blot out. You will be amazed not only at what God can do, but you will be amazed at what God can do in through. I'm telling you, God can use it. Everything in this moment, everything actually in the entire Exodus account hinged on Moses's, not God, God had already resolved to do this, on Moses's decision to let God do it through him. I don't know what it is you're facing in your life. I don't know what challenges that are of baffling proportions that look to you like an army. You don't even have weapons. You don't know how you, I don't know what you're facing in your life, what you maybe are beginning to decide will never get done and certainly not through you. I don't know what it is that you're facing, but I wonder if you can hear God asking you today, what is in your hand? God can use it. It depends on us to see if God, if we will let God do it through us. Amen.